Welcome, everyone, to Let's Get Critical. My mutant name is Mr. Kerosene, and I'm joined with my best buds,
Rube Walker and
Zeke Zero.
And we are part of the band Frantic Romantic. We started this podcast recently because we are definite music fans and also music makers. And as music makers, we'd like to fan about music with you. And this is just a place for us to kind of rediscover some albums that we love and actually share these albums with each other, because there is a high probability that if one of us is really digging something, the other members may have not have listened to it before, and this is their chance to discover it for the first time. So I'm really excited to introduce this album. This was my pick, and it is The Hurting by Tears for Fears. It came out in 1983. It is their debut album. And, you know, I thought that songs from The Big Chair would probably be a little bit too obvious, a little bit too big. There's not really much to talk about when it comes to songs from The Big Chair. And, of course, that's, you know, with such hits as Head Over Heels, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Shout, right? That's the big, like, blowout album that everybody knows and loves Tears for Fears for. But The Hurting is a little less produced, a little more freshman. You know, some interesting facts about this album. So Roland Orzabal, right? He's the main guy. He's supposedly the principal songwriter. All the lyrics and all the music are
mainly Roland,
kind of under his name. And him and Kurt Smith, they were actually in another band before this called Graduate. And Graduate got signed, and they had some moderate hits in the UK, but then the whole thing kind of fizzled out. And they became session musicians for just a little bit there for the band called Neon. And in that time, they focused their creative efforts on stuff that would be inspired by... let's see. The list here is Brian Eno, Talking Heads, and Peter Gabriel. Which is interesting because you can see kind of...
I can hear those influences in them. Yeah,
you can see definitely thread. Woven in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that said, this was released on March 7th of 1983 by Mercury Records. A lot of the album, a lot of the lyrics, focuses on child abuse, psychological trauma, and depression. Not unlike most lyrics and most albums within rock and within new wave and within pop. You know, there seems to be this
theme,
symbiotic
yeah.
relationship. Yeah, this theme. You know, when people suffer, they want to write about it. They want to sing about it. They want the world to know it, but they want to package it up. And I think that's kind of maybe like a very blues thing, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That pain, right? Like being able to harness that pain and turn it into art.
Yeah.
It's very therapeutic. It's a way of coping.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know within our band, I mean, you know, all of our lyrics are very much in that realm.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, Tears for Fears is kind of at least a big influence for me.
Same, yeah.
Especially being in a band where it is kind of a mixture, a fusion of you know, analog instrumentation, you know, rock instruments and synths, right?
Yeah.
So with that said, I mean, general thoughts, I'm very curious, and, you know, just at random, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Zeke, what do you think of The Hurting?
Well, first off, Tears for Fears is a band I just know the singles, I'll be honest with you. It's not a band I really got into or really tried to get into because I thought, oh, man, it's just too poppy, like 80s pop, you know, which is not bad, you know, because I like 80s music. I love 80s music, actually, The Cure. But for some reason, I would listen to The Cure instead of Tears for Fears, right? So picking up this album, which is good that you recommended it, you know, because now I'm like, wow, man, I got to delve more into their catalog, because I really love this album. Upon looking at the album cover, though, I was like thinking, like, what type of traumatic songs am I gonna listen to? Because it's very sad. I mean, if you look at it, it's a little child, you know, kind of like cradling himself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was, you know, I don't think I was fully ready yet, because I didn't know, man. This album does have a lot of hurting, a lot of pain, but I guess it was therapeutic for the band itself. Yeah. So I really enjoyed it from start to finish. I don't think there was a slowdown at all, and then there was an evolution that I noticed towards the end, like the last few songs started getting more not aggressive, but kind of, because the first few songs were talking about the pain, talking about hurting, talking about sadness, and all the things that were going on. But it felt like the last two songs was the band standing up, standing forward, and not angrily, but more like empowered by this. And I think they did that on purpose on the album. You know, that's what I read from it. Yeah. It's a beautiful album, to be honest, man. I really did like it. It's not that polished, because I've heard their other later singles, but that's what I like about it too. Sometimes the most honest music is when it's not polished by producers.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Ruben?
Yeah, for me, you know, I've been a fan of Tears for Fears for a long time. For me, my introduction was really, I think it was Shout initially, right? And then I started getting into their catalog, and I was like, man, they're great, you know? Being able to sit down with this album, I could tell you that, yeah, I loved it from cover to cover. Like, coming up with the top three, bottom three was really hard for me. It was like I had to find, like, a real, like, silly reason, you know? Like, well, I think just because of whatever, X, Y. But overall, I don't think there's a song I didn't like on there, you know?
Yeah, and with that said, you know, we're still kind of figuring out our format for top three and bottom three. You know, it seems a bit a random at this point, but I would say, why don't we start with bottom three? I would say start with bottom three, and we can just go around and say what our three are and why.
Right, right, yeah.
Right, so for me, I think the first of the bottom three, and this is in no particular order, and I agree with both of you, like, this is kind of a masterpiece album. Like, there's not a bad track on here. But I would say Ideas as Opiates. And the only, and again, this is just silly reasons, right?
Yeah.
But, like, Roland Orzabal's voice doesn't necessarily work with the song. I think this, and what's so great is, like, there's a naivete about this being their freshman album, right? Like, they're still figuring out what works with the music. And I think Roland Orzabal's voice doesn't necessarily work with the song. And the song itself is great. I feel like if someone was to cover that with a different cadence to their voice, it would probably work better than what he was doing.
Yeah. Hint, hint. No.
And then Change. Change is in my bottom three. And the only reason I picked that was, you know, out of all the songs on the album, it's the one that feels the most like it's of its time. It's the only one that I feel like, this sounds like a bit too 80s, you know?
It does, yeah.
And the chorus... the chorus doesn't really move. Like you know, there's all this build up and all this cool stuff going on. And like the pre-chorus, there's this really badass like guitar riff that chimes in. And then when it gets to the chorus, it just falls off a cliff. Right. But again, it's not a bad
song.
Not
a bad song.
Not a bad song.
Gives me like a Depeche Mode vibe. Like when I heard it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then I guess the last of the bottom three, was The Prisoner. But again, not because it's a bad song. It's just it felt like a Cure song accidentally rolled onto this Tears for Fears album. And I don't know if it like if you were to take Tears for Fears as a whole, their whole discography, that one song on this album feels like it's not really Tears for Fears. It's like, oh, this feels like it was like written by Robert Smith and like sold to the band.
Right.
But it's not a bad song, right? So with that said, I would love to, you know, you guys can fight over it. Go ahead.
Go for it.
I'll go for it. man, I dropped the ball. I didn't know we had to pick a bottom three, but I do have two in mind in particular, and I'll bring up the one, that you talked about, Prisoner. I didn't like the one that's initially on the album, but there's a remastered edition, I believe, and they have a longer version of Prisoner. That one I loved. Now, I believe I love that because that song in particular, I think it needed to be fleshed out and elongated mm-hmm. in order for it to sit well, because it feels, the initial one didn't really catch my attention. I was like, well, it's cool. It's cool. It's not a bad song. But like I said, when you listen to the longer version on it, which is on a remastered edition, it turned out to be one of my favorites on the album, only because I feel like they fleshed it out and mm-hmm. it made more of an impact in that way. The second one I have is Mad World. Now, only because I'm used to, not a bad song, right? Not a bad song on this album. They did a great job, but I'm only used to
Jules.
Yeah, on the Donnie Darko soundtrack, right? Because they fleshed it. They slowed it down and they brought out the emotions in that song, because it's a very heavy, deep song. And when you listen to it, but on the album, on this album, it felt kind of rushed to me. Like
it's very different.
Yeah, it is very different.
Synth horns.
Yeah, I was going to say those. Yeah, the flurries.
So yeah. And then I just have those two right there.
That's
right.
Fine.
And like I said, Mad, totally fine. Mad World's not a bad song. I don't want people to think it is, but yeah, I'm used to it. Gary Jules, right?
Gary Jules?
Yeah,
man.
Gary Jules.
Oh, you ruined
and
it. Man.
Michael something. I don't remember what the dude's name was.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm right there with you with my my bottom three. Mad World's on the top of my bottom three. Mm. I like that song. Yeah. But yeah, after I heard Gary Jules' version of it, I heard an acoustic version where he played it on the acoustic guitar.
Mm.
And that was even like more haunting. The content is so, it like cuts through you with a knife. Yeah. Like for me, you know, I had a bunch of shit that went on when I was a little kid, and I can relate to so much of this. So to hear like a happier version of it, like I feel like it's almost like a joke, you know what I mean? I don't know. Not, like it's not a bad song, but I just can't take it serious now that I've heard the other one, the sadder one, you know? I wouldn't put it as like a bad song, period, right? Like it's just the bottom of my list when it comes to these great songs. The second one is Prisoner for me. I feel like Prisoner's phrasing was just a little off. I couldn't get into that. The energy was just a little bit different. That's it. You know, like as I was listening to the album, I feel like that's where somebody went to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like maybe Kurt Smith was like, oh, this is my song. And I don't know. I don't know anything about that, but I'm just saying it felt different. You know, it felt a little out of place.
Yeah.
And the last one I have is a song called The Way You Are. I think it actually closes the record out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like musically it kind of didn't really do much. It took kind of a while to kick in. And the melody I felt kind of suffered a little bit. It wasn't a terrible song. It just felt like I could totally forget about that one, you know? It's just the next song would come on and I'm like, don't even remember that one, you know?
Yeah. Very cool.
Man, you guys hate The Prisoner? no, listen to the longer version.
I'll listen to the longer one.
Yeah,
it just didn't do it for me, man, when I heard it on there.
Yeah.
So going into top three, and I will say, now, for me, I think the case for all of us probably is the Gary Jules Mad World version was introduced to us first, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's definitely the case for me. And, yeah. and so with me, it's like I had a friend that invited me over, and he's like, "You got to watch Donnie Darko, right? It's so meaningful and cool."
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I watched Donnie Darko. That song was in it. I did not like Donnie Darko. And I mean, that's a conversation for a whole nother podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
You didn't like Seth Rogen in that?
No.
He was in that.
He was in that, yeah.
So for me, it was, I always attach that version of the song to that movie. And I always feel like the movie and the song go hand in hand of people being like, I feel like it's like someone coming up to me and being like, "Hey, be sad. You got to be sad right now," right? So for me listening to the Mad World version from Tears for Fears, I agree with you, it's a very cartoony version. It kind of takes the seriousness out of that song.
Yeah.
But for me it was like, "Oh, this is like so much fun," right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like fucking
decadent 80s and yeah,
Daffy Duck, like synth horns and stuff. Yeah. I'm just like, this is like a joke, right?
Yeah.
that's not to say it's in my top three, because it's not. So, the first of my top three would be Pale Shelter. And I think, I love the energy of the song, and I love kind of the, there's a synth in there that's kind of this pulsating, flanging synth that really like kind of gallops through the song, and I'm like, "Oh, this has like real good energy," you know. I don't know, that song has always stuck with me as like one of the breakout songs of that album that kind of is like, "Oh, this is Tears for Fears the sound." Like,
yeah.
this would be the first song to show them off this album. The next one would be Memories Fade. And the reason I like that so much is I think it got reinvigorated by when we were talking about the Kanye West album, right?
Yeah.
Like I heard the Kanye West version and I'm like, "Wait a second. This is a Tears for Fears song."
Fears, yeah.
Right?
He interpolated. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then I went back and listened to this and I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is like a really powerful song." I don't know. It just, there's something really haunting about it, and really, really, it just has all this dynamic energy to it, and especially like on a freshman album, for a band to write something like this is just like up here,
next
you
year.
Know.
Yeah.
And then the last one I think is you know, another thing about Memories Fade and Pale Shelters, I also think they're very like frantic romantic.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that.
Especially off the first album, like Farewell to Oz and like Victoria Trap is like same kind of energy.
Yeah.
as those songs. And then the last one is Suffer the Children, and it's like this playful but tragic song, and you know, when it really kicks in, it's like really powerful. But it has this like interesting quality about, I don't know if it's the chorus or the pre-chorus or even if they're giving a shit about any of that. The phrasing of the vocals is very childlike. It's, and I'd like to think that it's intentional, but it's like, na 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 na. It's like a kid singing it, and I'm like, this is like interesting. And then it kicks in with like kids actually doing a chorus.
Yeah.
And then there's all these harmonies by the end of the song that intertwine with each other, and it's just like, this is like next level band, you know?
Totally.
It's sort of like you listen to this and you're like, "Oh, their next album is going to be
massive. Right, yeah. Right.
So those are my top three.
Cool.
Damn, it's cool that you mentioned Save the Children or Suffer the Children. Because I was thinking the same thing. When you listen to it, it's pretty deep. The lyrics, man. I was thinking, man, this guy, he's really been in some like deep shit, man. But the songwriting abilities are showcased on this song, I believe. And also the chorus is I believe it's the highlight. But the ending is like a cascade of like sound and almost like a sound wave, man. It's beautiful. I think it's a real beautiful song. I'm going to go with popular opinion because I think Ideas as Opiates was on your bottom.
It was, yeah.
I actually really like that. I like that because I could tell the influence that it had on
Kanye.
Kanye, man.
We talked about that, yeah.
You know, not listening to this album, I would have had no idea that Kanye is probably a fan, a Tears for Fears fan, you know. But I really liked it because it, I could tell how influential it was. And more so when it first came out. The lyrics were pretty simple. It had simple phrasing, but I believe they made it work. And I thought it stood out in the album. And then, of course, Memories Fade is one of my favorites. I hear the chorus in my head over and over and over again. And it's a really cool song. It's a really cool song.
So goddamn catchy.
Yeah, it's very, very catchy. Overall, man, this album rocks, man.
It slaps, huh?
It slaps.
It does. It totally does.
Yeah. Well, those are my top three.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to start with, for me, Watch Me Bleed. Watch Me Bleed just hit. Like, there's so many good songs on this album, right? Mm-hmm. So it was hard to come up with the bottom three. I think with the top three, I think it was harder, you know, because there was just so much texture. There's so much nuance when it came to the musicality. But to me, I feel like Watch Me Bleed is an example of something that influenced me as a musician, something that I've chased for years. You listen to Frantic Romantic and you know in the DNA, there's Tears for Fears for sure, you know, from you and from me, you know, and maybe now from you too, you know, yeah, I don't know.
It's going to have to be now.
Even Marcelo, I know he's a big fan, you know, he always talks about your voice being kind of in the same stadium as, Roland
Ozabal voice.
Yeah, yeah. But Watch Me Bleed was dope. I love the way the music blooms and the movement. I think kind of like the rhythmic, like I like doing a lot of cool shit with delay, and I hear that all over this. It's saturated with like cool synths. And like I said, it just hits. It hits every single box. It checks them all off for me. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I love this song. Let's see. I also, Pale Shelter. I mean, how can I not mention Pale Shelter? It's such a powerful song. It's catchy. It's smartly written. I feel like it's easy to show somebody who's never heard of this band. You show them this, and I don't think they're going to tell you that sucks. You know what I mean? Like, I think you're likely going to get somebody that says, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I've only heard Shout, or I've only heard, you know, one of the other, I don't know, Mad World or something, you know? So this is something like, I think that should be like a household song for them. But I feel like right now it's only like a nuance. Like if you're a musician's musician, you know, Pale Shelter.
Yeah.
That's a shame. You know, we need to do something about that.
I know, and I sort of get the feeling like a lot of those hits off the first album were under a magnifying glass, but then once Songs from the Big Chair came out, they just got fucking aped out of existence, you know?
Totally. I mean, that's not a bad problem to have because it gives your catalog depth, you know?
Right,
because I think like the following album they did or whatever was the one. Yeah, that's the one where they cut it, called it quits, right?
Sowing the Seeds of Love. Yeah, that one. Yeah, they called it quits after that album. Yeah.
Right,
I think they did.
They had like Simon Phillips on that one, I think.
Oh, probably.
I was reading the notes. Yeah, he was on that. He did drums on that along with a few other people, which is interesting. You know.
Yeah,
I remember when we were working with him. He mentioned working with them, and it was really cool. They were really good musicians.
Yeah.
Let me see. What else do we got? And of course, the last one is Memories Fade.
Nice.
Beautiful song. Yeah, I just couldn't get it out of my head.
It's on everybody's list, huh?
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It's a really good song.
I think it was really smart that Kanye interpolated it into his version of Coldest Winter. Do you know like the story with that?
Well, I know it. I think it was a song that was however he came about that was it was for his mom.
He was
right?
Mourning his mom. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I mentioned that to my wife. You know, who she knows too. You know, she's a fan. she always says that too. You know, once he lost his mom, he kind of lost his way. And I mentioned that, and she was listening to it with me, and she's like, started tearing up. And I'm like, yeah, it does hit you in a certain place when you could feel like there's some very relatable pain in that song, you know? Like, I think one of the things I love about listening to this and knowing it's the source material for Coldest Winter is you hear the melody and the synths, and then, like, you hear the saxophone hit, and it's like, oh, that's so tasteful, man. That's sophisticated and tasteful. So, yeah, I don't know. For me, I think that's probably one of the best songs on this album.
Yeah.
I would maybe love to do that one day. I don't know. You know, even if it's just for like a live audience.
Dude,
you know?
I'm down, man.
Dude, I could totally see that. Yeah. That would work.
People would be like, why are they covering Kanye? You know what I mean?
It's Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears. Yeah, exactly.
We should wear some Yeezys on stage, man.
I can't afford those, man. We ain't sponsored. We don't have any monetizing
Deezer?
Yet.
Can we get sponsored by Deezer?
Deezer, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. You know, so whether audiences or you guys believe me or not, I scoured looking for bad reviews of this album, and I could not find them. But with that said, you know, we'll do what we did last time.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we'll do a round table here of, you know, out of 10, what you think it would be, and then just final words, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, for me, again, this is a great album, but if the scale is Songs from the Big Chair being a 10 out of 10, which I think it is.
Definitely, yeah.
Then this naturally for me would have to be less, right? Now, it's hard to do because, again, it's a great album, but I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 only because, you know, this is the first album that they have. They're still finding their footing. I thought there was like 90% things that work, and then just that 10% of things that's like, oh, okay, they're still developing. They're still developing their sound. You know, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in 1983 when all these bands were coming out.
I was like not even a month old.
Yeah. And you know, you got to see New Wave really flourish and come into its own. And there was something very cold and very uncommercial about those first few years of the 80s when it came to synth and New Wave, where it was like, you know, this is like, we're hearing all these new sounds, but it's not trying to impress anybody, and it's not this like polished commercial poppy thing. And I think this album is like a great example of that, right? So that would be my rating.
Well, coming from somebody that hasn't listened to any Tears for Fears albums before all of this, I'm gonna give it a 10. I'm gonna give it a 10 only because it's fresh ears listening to it, and I honestly, dude, I went upon first. You know, getting your guys' message about listening to this album, I didn't think I was going to like it. I was like, oh, man, I'm not really feeling this, you know. But, you know, I was totally wrong. I was totally wrong. It's an awesome album, man. And I think it's a great introduction because now I'm going to delve into the catalog. And I've listened to this album a few times, actually, since you guys recommended it. So yeah, 10 out of 10 for me only because I haven't heard
Songs from the Big Chair.
Yeah, man. So I'm biased. That's what I mean.
Don't be like me, man. Yeah. It took like 10 years to listen to the next Young the Giant album, you know?
No.
Just because I was scared. I'm not going to like it as much, you know? Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Don't do that. Don't be me.
But yeah, what do you think, Ruben?
I give it a 10 out of 10. If this was the Meltzer wrestling match scale, I'd give it a 5 stars, you know, which is the highest you can get.
Nice.
I think you could put back-to-back 10 out of 10 albums, and I think they did that, you know?
Yeah.
Which is not easy, you know?
No, no.
I can't say the same for the follow-up after Songs from the Big Chair, but...
Hey, we'll save that for another episode, because I agree.
Right,
I agree.
Right. I read there was a lot of problems. You know, there was a divorce.
Yep.
Kurt Smith divorced after that. Here, the juices were going. I feel like they were hungry. You hear it. You hear it. Even though it's a freshman album, I feel like they were writing this freshman album their whole lives. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It shows. Strong 10 out of 10 for me. Love this album.
Very cool. Well, with that said, we are Frantic Romantic. And as always, we are music makers and also fans of music. And we love sharing this knowledge with each other. And we love sharing this knowledge with the listener. And we hope this inspires you to go out and listen to some new music as well. If you haven't heard The Hurting by Tears for Fears, it is a masterclass in new wave. And we think you'll really enjoy it. We look forward to seeing your comments on the album. And if you have any questions, if you have any suggestions for us to, any albums for us to listen to, we are completely open to that as well. Until next time, I'm Mr. Kerosene.
Well, I'm Mr. Zeke Zero.
And I'm Rube Walker.
All right, thank you.
Let's Get Critical is a part of the Lemme Listen Podcast Network. You may find all Lemme Listen podcasts on such websites as Spotify, Deezer, SoundCloud, and other streaming networks. You may find more information about the band Frantic Romantic by visiting franticromanticmusic.com as well as our social media platforms. We're always posting information about concerts, new music, and more. So please, visit us. Reach out to us. Let us know if there's any albums you'd love for us to review. Until next time, this has been Let's Get Critical.